James reads this way. I'm sure you all have heard things from the other end of this chapter that talk about the plans that God has for you. But before you can get to the plan, hear these words. Jeremiah 29:1, and I'll read 4-7. Now these are the words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem unto the residue of the elders, which were carried away captives, and to priests, and to the prophets, and to all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had carried away captive from Jerusalem to Babylon. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all that are carried away captives, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem unto Babylon. Build ye houses and dwell in them. Plant gardens and eat the fruit of them. Take ye wives and beget sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons and give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters, that ye may be increased there and not diminished. And seek the peace of the city whither I have caused you to be carried away captive, and pray unto the Lord for it. For in the peace thereof shall ye have peace. In the peace thereof shall you have peace. I want to preach for a few minutes on this Sunday from the topic, Shalom, y'all. Amen. Shalom, y'all. God, we thank you today for another opportunity to stand behind the sacred desk. Not because we want to be seen or even to be heard, God, but because it is from this place that you speak to your people. So we pray even now, Lord God, that you would empty your servant out of himself now before you. Fill me, Lord God, to overflowing, that your word might spill out over on all to the people. Pray, Lord God, that those who wait to hear a word from you will receive. We pray, Lord God, for those that need to hear an encouraging word today, that their heads might be lifted up in this place and that their heart might be encouraged. We pray, Lord God, for someone whose soul is asleep, that it might be awakened during this time. And we pray, Lord God, for that one who does not know you in the free pardon of their sin, that they might come even now, God, to know you as Savior and Lord. Have your way in every way. We will give you honor and praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Every year, the United Methodist Church, right on this Sunday, y'all got the heat turned up to 1,000 a day. Every year, the United Methodist Church, right on the weekend that we celebrate Martin Luther King's birthday, chooses to celebrate what it calls Human Relations Day. It is an old term, probably from the 1970s, that came out of the civil rights movement in the 60s, where Martin Luther King gained his reputation, did his work in ministry among us, didn't even make it through the 60s before he was murdered for telling the truth. He didn't get murdered because he was black. He didn't get murdered because of voting rights. He didn't even get murdered because he spoke out against the Vietnam War. He got murdered because his vision was bigger than all of that. What we know is that when vision, Dr. Holt and Minister Newman, is big enough, it puts some people under some pressure. Yeah. Some folk in power don't want you to have any vision because what they're doing is against the vision of God. And when you come with a vision from God, Know that folks who you don't even see, know, or talk to are plotting your demise as soon as the words come out of your mouth. And it didn't just start happening in the 1960s or even the 50s. Didn't start as people were marching down the street demanding rights, being sprayed with powerful water hoses or bitten by vicious German shepherds or being cussed out by racist white men with overhung bellies and southern drawls, guns on their hips and sheriff's badges on their chests. Didn't happen by the people who hung the signs on the bathrooms that said, "Colored people, pee over here. Because your pee is somehow fundamentally different from the white pee over there. Or drink water from over here. Because the white people's water is sweeter and cooler and better over there. And you're not permitted to drink water from this place." It didn't even happen then. It didn't even happen during Jim Crow. When you come out of slavery, they tell you, you really don't know what to do or how to function in this community, but come on and share crop for a while for me. 30, 40, 50, 60 years. And you won't make any money and you won't be a slave, but I'm going to still profit off your back. Didn't happen even during slavery, where we were snatched out of what Toni Morrison calls the livable place. You get hungry, you reach up in the tree and grab a mango and keep it moving. If you're still hungry, get a banana and keep it moving. If you're in Ghana where I was, you're going over in the bush and cut off a pineapple and say, "Lord, have mercy, this is some mighty sweet fruit." And keep it moving. This is about a vision that came from God a long, long, long time ago. In the Garden of Eden, God put man and the woman in the garden. The sequence is this, that God himself spoke and things got created. God, at some point in time, reaches down into the soil and blows the breath of life into a human soul, and man is created. And he also says, "While it's great that I've created man to hang out with me, it is not good for man to be alone." So he put the man asleep, broke off a rib. Y'all know about breaking off a rib, don't you? Brother Rob. And he created woman. And he created woman because it was not good for man to be alone. The idea all the way back in creation was this, that we are always ultimately supposed to be in intimate, transparent fellowship and communion with God. Yes. And intimate, transparent fellowship and community with each other. You can't do one right without doing the other. You can't be holy with God and not be good with your brother. How are you going to love God and hate the one that's next to you? That's scripture. Don't look at me like I'm crazy. And watch this. I didn't intend to go here today, but I've got to put this out here so we know it. When you sin, I use the word "when" on purpose. I'm from among y'all. I sin every single day. I assume that you all do too. Thank you for giving me permission to do that. Amen. I could never tell by your behavior. I really couldn't. When we sin, we break fellowship with God. But every time we sin, even in the secret ones that nobody else knows about, we break fellowship with each other. It is against the will of God. God has had a vision, still has a vision, has always had a vision for us to be together. Yes. In what Martin Luther King called, and we don't hear it in any speeches, beloved community. Uh-huh. Beloved community. Nobody marches about beloved community. We want jobs. We want voting rights. And listen, if we're honest,
As black folk, we mad at white people, so we marching. Mm-hmm. And don't get me wrong, it is human and natural. Matter of fact, I would look at you kind of strange if you didn't get mad at white people for doing some of the stuff that they've done to black people over history. Can we talk about it? Because much of what has been done to us by people who don't look like us not only has broken fellowship between us, but it has been awful, hateful, degrading stuff that has taken its toll on our bodies and on our spirits and on our minds for generations on end. We got kids walking around mad that they don't know what that happened generations ago from what some white folk did. Y'all not with me. How are you going to get separated from your culture and separated from your family and separated from all that you know and made to do something that you have no business doing, and thoughts about yourself have changed to fit somebody else's dynamic and understanding of who you are and not be disconnected and mad? Why are our boys running around, walking around with pants hanging down below their drawers? Why don't our girls value themselves anything past what they can switch? Mm-hmm. It is a fundamental problem, and it does anger me, and I do feel the pain for it, but how many know God's vision is bigger than that? Bigger, 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 bigger. God's vision for us is to be in community one with another. Oh, yes. And so all the way back in Jeremiah, long before there was a civil rights movement, God's people had the same problem. Mm-hmm. Jerusalem is not Africa, but it's close. That's right. God's people have been gathered there in the place where they felt the most comfort. They were a kingdom. All of their culture was there. All of their knowledge was there. All of the worship of God and even the presence of God was there in that place for them in Jerusalem. And Nebuchadnezzar shows up from Babylon, largely because of the sin of the people. We ain't going there today, but I need you to know there was a cause for this. Over years, builds a ramp up to the wall, goes over the wall, busts the wall out from the inside, and takes the people from the inside. Out, takes the people to Babylon. And now in Jeremiah 29, they have been there for generations. Some got to stay. Others have been gone for generations who no longer remember how things were in Jerusalem. Y'all stay with me. I'm going somewhere with this. No longer remember the old time way. Never heard Miss Dot moan back in the day. Don't understand what it meant to demonstrate in the civil rights movement. Not connected to Martin Luther King. All they know about Martin Luther King, and this is our fault, or what some white people told them at school. Because Big Mama and them not telling their real story at the house. They've been away for a long time and they don't remember, but all they know is that there's supposed to be something special about them and that God had made a promise to them and it was not happening, and they're in Babylon mad, broke, busted, disgusted, angry. Got attitudes, and they send word home to the prophet, to the leader. What's up? Talk to me. Jeremiah, we're feeling some kind of way out here. Come see about us. What is the word from the Lord about us? We've been out here too long. Too much suffering going on. Y'all not with me. Lord, they're killing our boys and leaving them dead in the street. Where are the good black men in jail? Can't get the job that I want. Can't get educated. Not enough money. Am I on your pew yet? Lord, come rescue me. What's the deal? Come and get this right. And in 29, Jeremiah sends word. This is the message from Jeremiah to all those who the Lord has caused to be carried away captive from Ghana and Sierra Leone to the rice paddies of South Carolina and Georgia and all their descendants who live up in Gaithersburg. who settled at Emery Grove. Here's the word from the Lord to you. Three things that we hear from this text. The first is this. Settle in. Y'all gonna be there for a while. Settle in. You're gonna be there for a while. There's no more talk of back to Africa. Because we have had to settle in here. The reality is that we have been here for years and would not be in America unless we said so. Unless we worked, unless we toiled, unless we sweated, bled, and died. There would be no America. We have been here for 400 years. Didn't ask to come, didn't immigrate. But there's been another shift for us. Having been here for a little while, now there's a whole lot of folks who are here among us that don't look like us. Don't even speak our same language. Poverty stricken. Can you imagine growing up poor in the 50s and 60s and finally having gotten to a place where you got your own place at least and you know how much money you have to go buy groceries? Things are okay now, and now there's a whole new level of poor people around you claiming some rights that you never really fully got yourself. That's where we are. And in the midst, our own children don't even understand our history because we've been trying to keep it from them in the name of letting them do better. Best thing my mother ever gave me was a sense of what the struggle is. I tell every young person under the sound of my voice, the struggle is real. You better get yourself involved with it some kind of way. You better get out here and learn how to grind somewhere. You better know that nobody's trying to give you a thing out here. And what God has for you, you might have to go fight somebody to go get it, but it's for you, go get it. And so we're here in the situation, having heard from God that it is time to settle in. What does that mean? If you're from old school Emery Grove, it means that you're in a place where it's strange out here. We don't know the people walking down Washington Grove Lane anymore. Tell the truth. Have you ever stopped anybody and looked in one of these little baby strollers? Y'all must not have stood out here. I've been out on this corner and I've watched the number of baby strollers that go up and down. Young girls, 16, 15, 17, 18. Largely without a husband, come on somebody, Amen. Are pushing strollers up and down Washington Grove Lane. As I look in the stroller, this is why I know y'all don't know them. I can't reliably tell what's the ethnic origin of the child in the stroller. Martin Luther King's dream has come true in some way. You know how stuff happens through the back door sometimes? By what's going on in that stroller. But these are not our people. They're not the people who we gave birth to. They're not the people who used to live in the big house, live in Emery Grove, who live down the bottom and up on it. They're not those folks, but they are God's people here. Yeah. Every one of them, whether they come from Central America or West Africa or East Africa, are God's people. They're made in the image of God, have sacred worth because of it, just like you and me. And God expects us to be in intimate relationship with every single one of them. Y'all don't have to say amen. I know I'm right about this. The word from the prophet to us today is settle in here. We're going to be here for a while. If you knew that you were going to be here for a while and that nobody was coming to rescue you, would you behave a little differently? I learned early in Crestmont, where we lived in row houses. Those of us who had a little bit of something, not much, lived in row houses. Those across the street from us lived in the projects. But either way, you shared a wall with somebody. Yeah. And I learned early in Crestmont that your safety and your security is not based on whether you have a gun or a baseball bat in your hand. It's how much you know the one who's living on the other side of the wall from you. This thing called community. I can't tell you the number of times, and I thank God for it now. I was kind of mad about it then when somebody who lived across the wall, saw me someplace where I had no business being and communicated back across the wall. So that by the time you got from where you were going, where you were doing what you had no business doing, mom was in there saying, "Where you been?" Knowing full well where you been. Having heard every detail about what you did, waiting for you to lie. And would often tell you after she asked you where you've been, "Now before you speak." Your pastor's having flashbacks. I'm having flashbacks. I didn't always get that one right. Kind of painful. Amen. My security is in that network of neighbors that we have. But do our neighbors feel connected with us in that way? We don't even know who they are. They were my neighbors because they knew my story. When I go back home today, they don't call me Timmy anymore. At some point, they called me Deacon Timmy and then Reverend Timmy. But I've been away a long time now that they don't even call me that. I'm known to this day, age 55, as Moselle Warner's boy. That's not my mother. She's Barbara Ann. It's not my grandmother. That's Dot. Miss Dot. That's my great-grandmother, whose families knew my great-grandmother, whose families knew my grandmother, whose families knew my mother, and by that they know me. I'm talking about intimate relationship where everybody knows what you had for dinner last night because they were out shopping with your whoever was out buying your groceries at the same grocery store. Had to borrow a cup of sugar from them to make the glaze that went on the ham. What time is it? It's getting ready to be time to go. Amen. But God is calling us to settle in for a while because God intends for us to be used where we are. I'm moving. Second thing, here's the hard piece. Let me read it, lest y'all think I made it up. I didn't make it up. Listen to this. Build houses and live in them with the folks. Plant gardens and eat the fruit of them with the folks. Here's where it's hard. Take wives, Lord have mercy, and have sons and daughters. It says so right here. Give your daughters to husbands, Lord have mercy, that they can have some sons and daughters with the folks, that they may be increased there, that you may be increased there and not diminished. Amen. God is telling the people, first, settle in, it's going to be a while. Second thing is the hardest piece for us. Get some skin in the game. Here's what we like to do. This is what's comfortable for us at Emory Grove. And in most churches. I'm not beating up on just on Emory Grove. We like to say, we see you. We acknowledge you. We think you're a fine person. And if you're poor, we will give you some stuff because we're really good Christians as we reach behind and break our arm to pat ourselves on the back. We pat ourselves on the back and pat them on the head at the same time. That's how we do ministry. This is the back patting, head patting ministry that we call mission. And when it's really bad, we call it outreach. This is what we're doing. And what God is saying to the people is settle in. They is you. From now on, there's no more us versus them. Build some houses, move in with them. Y'all not getting this. Plant some gardens and eat the food with them. Right? Yeah, when it comes dating time, date them. When it comes marrying time, marry them. When it comes baby having time, have some little biracial, multicultural babies. Woo! And here's the reason. My plan is for you to increase that way and not decrease. Waxing prophetic here. Watch this. Watch this. In Montgomery County, those of you who are keeping track, has the number of black people increased over the last 10 years? Or has it decreased? Yeah. And have we become less insular towards our sisters and brothers who come from Latin America and West Africa? Or have we become more insular? Insular is a college word for some of y'all. Y'all don't understand. Have we rejected them and pushed them away more? Or have we invited them to be with us and us with them? Here's what I'm saying. Because we have not embraced people, because we have not been in relationship with people, thinking that it's still just about us and ours, we've begun to decrease in numbers in this county.
Yes, sir.
Say what you want. Emory Grove doesn't have 500 people coming here every week. Doesn't have it. There may have been a time, but it's not this year. There was a time where you could go from church to church because there were so many black people. Celebrate this day over at Goshen, celebrate this day over at Emory Grove, going over there to St. Mark's up in Boys. They could play baseball up there. You know, there's always something going with some black folk in Montgomery County. Yeah, not enough of us now for it to matter. And God says, my goal for you is to increase, but you've been sheltered and you're decreasing. Because we don't want to understand that the way to increase, the way to do God's will, is to be an intimate, skin-in-the-game relationship. Boy, I'm preaching hard today. Amen. With people who are not from where we're from. Mm-hmm. I want you to think about this. This may not shout you, but it's going to help you.
Amen.
Here's the theology of it. God made a promise to the people Jeremiah was prophesying to. Way back at Abraham, that I will be your God, you'll be my people, your seed is going to be like the grains of sand, nobody's going to be able to count them. Your seed is going to be like the stars in the sky. I'm going to bless the entire earth through your seed. People who hate you, I'm going to curse those who help you, I'm going to bless. That's God's promise to Abraham. And God is now saying it's time for the blessing to happen, but you, children of Abraham, have to get some skin in the game. How am I going to bless people? How's your seed going to be spread unless you're with folks who are not like you?
Amen.
Let me cut to the chase. When I was young, on a snowy day, I thank God for them. While I didn't have really even a shovel, I had to borrow one. While I didn't even have a credible pair of gloves, while I didn't have fleece or a parka or anything else that we used today. When it snowed real heavy and they canceled school, I would put on 4 pairs of tube socks on my hands.
Oh, yes.
And my cousin Judy's majorette boots. That's all we had. That's all I had. That's all I had. It was either that or go out there in some raggedy Bobos. Y'all know nothing about Bobos. In the middle of the winter. So I had on the majorette boots. But I knew that day I could go over in the white section. Y'all know anything about the white section?
Yeah.
Did they have a white section down here? I have a.
Yeah.
I knew I could go to the white section and make some money that day.
Right.
We're going to work all day. I could come home with $100 in my pocket. Shovel snow till my back hurt. But let me give you this news alert. Ain't going to be no black section in heaven. I've read the end of the book. There's going to be no black section. There's going to be no white section in heaven. It's going to be about God's people and not God's people.
Amen.
And I believe if that's happening at the end of the book, we might as well go ahead and rehearse and practice right now.
Uh-huh.
Get some skin in the game. We're going to talk more about this later. And y'all can blame Reverend Dr. Holt and Minister Newman. Last thing. I'm going to be out your way. Verse 7 says this. And seek. Touch your neighbor, say seek. The peace of the city whither I have caused you to become carried away captives. And pray, touch your neighbor, say pray. Unto the Lord for it. For in the peace thereof shall ye have your peace. Seek the peace. Pray for the city. Because your peace is wrapped up in his peace. We're not in a generation that seeks much of anything. Seeking used to be a journey. Seeking for me academically was a problem. I would have to leave my house because we didn't have the kind of books at my house that we could get to and go to the Abington Free Library because I was working during the time when I could go to the school library, which meant that I had to catch a bus, the 55, where you had to walk across the tracks to get on the bus on York Road to go down to the 55 and then get to the library. And at the library, if you were doing research, many times they didn't have the books that you wanted and you would have to go to the microfilm. I know y'all don't know nothing about this. Because I was seeking information. It made me have to get up from what I was doing and go find there was some work involved in it. I had to go do something. Stay with me, I'm going somewhere with this, to get at what I was seeking. And that we live in a generation now where it's 3 keystrokes on your smartphone. We can Google some stuff now. So we're not in a place where we seek anything. And the word seek has a whole different meaning for us now. But the word then was to seek it. Sometimes it meant risking your life, come on somebody, to go get what God had for you because you had to seek after it. Wise men are still seeking Jesus. It requires some pursuit. Some Sundays in here, I got to pursue the Holy Ghost in this place. Doesn't just show up. Something about my worship. I must break a sweat sometime to give God the kind of praise so that the ghost visits us in this place. I'm seeking the presence of God. You've got to work for it. Seek the shalom, the peace of the city where I've caused you to go, to dwell. This is not, we ain't fighting peace. That's easy. All you have to do to get that kind of peace is don't fight nobody. That's right. It's easy. You don't have to, newsflash, you don't have to go upside somebody's head. You don't have to. I've learned sometimes it's not the best thing to do. Sometimes you jump on somebody and wind up getting jumped on. Amen. Yeah. It's not that kind of peace. It's not just the absence of violence. Not just the absence of some crazy cops shooting black people and leaving them in the street. Not just the absence of that. That's not what we're talking about. This is the kind of peace that God intended in the Garden of Eden. Where I am who I am and I see you for who you are. And we both see God in each other and we value one another. And I'm seeking your best interest. And you're seeking mine. That's beloved community, Martin Luther King. That's the will of God for humankind and creation. That's the shalom that Jeremiah is talking about. I know they carried you away captive. I know that they've been bad to you. But I'm telling you how God is going to get victory in here. You seek the peace of the city where I've caused you to dwell. And when you've applied yourself, when you've broken a sweat for it, don't worry about what everybody else thinks. Don't worry about how you're feeling and seeking it. Just do the seeking and pray for it. Get on your knees and have some sacrificial time before God and ask God to do it. And the reason the word says to pray is because we're not good at doing it on our own. I declare, without this sermon, without God moving in this place, we'd be right here at Emory Grove on this side of the corner as a congregation, not seeking relationship with anybody who doesn't look like us. For another 100 years. Amen. Not because we're bad people. It's because we're naturally this way. I like me. I do. You can talk about me all day. I could really care less. I'm cool with me. And as crazy as my crazy family is, and they are crazy, I like my family too. And I would prefer to be around them. Because they're the kind of crazy I know. Yeah, they're my kind of crazy. When they cuss me out, at least I understand what they're saying, right? And I come from a culture. I know this culture. I know what it means when somebody puts collard greens and black eyed peas and some ham on a plate. It's time to sit down. We're going to have a conversation that's celebrating food. I know what it means to be black in America. I was raised in it. But what God is saying is this, your culture is your culture, but you need to be praying that God will allow you to get past your idea of what's comfortable for you to do the hard work of doing what God wants you to do to create beloved community. Shalom, y'all. It's shalom. Get it in your mouth. I heard some young people arguing in Atlanta. Keep my name out your mouth. I don't even know what to do with that. I want you to get the name, the word shalom in your mouth. I want you to get it in your head. I want you to get it down in your heart. We are going there. Touch a neighbor and say, we're going there. It is the next phase of growth for this congregation. Everybody ain't gonna be happy. Everybody ain't gonna get there with us. But it's God's way. Seek the peace of the city, the Emory Grove that is now, that God is building. Pray for it. Get on your knees, invest some sweat equity. Invest in some Jergens cherry almond scented lotion on your knees because they're going to get ashy. Amen. And here's why. Ain't nothing going to be right in Emory Grove until things are right with everybody else. Seek the peace of the city where I've caused you to dwell and pray for it. For in its peace, you're going to find your peace. The only way we're going to be who God wants us to be is if we do it God's way. The only way we're going to be whole in this place, the only way we're going to love each other the way God intended for us to love each other, the only way we're going to care for each other the way God intended to care for us, the only way we're going to experience God the way God intends for us to experience God is to include, to be with everybody who is around us. That's good news. That's good news because I got something from Crestmont. I grew up in the middle of some stuff in Crestmont that's going to bless the world. I got some stuff at Emory Grove way back in the day. Sometimes I got it at the big house. Sometimes I got it at the dewdrop in. Sometimes I got it at the baseball field, but I got it. Sometimes I got it on the end of somebody's switch. Come on, somebody. But I got something from Emory Grove that's for the rest of the world. I'm glad to be able to enter this covenant with something from somewhere that I can give on behalf of the kingdom. Amen. But God wants us right now, in this moment, to begin seeking the peace of this city. Can you stand to your feet? Amen. That's not working.